he went through it all, and but I still think about all those other soldiers on the other side. I have a library at home of books of war, and they're all English. They're all English or American. They're all in English. They're not in French or not in German or not in Russian, not in Japanese. We don't know what the hell those guys went through. We can guess. And if you were in Japan or if you were in Russia and doing this, you'd be asking the same questions. And you'd be getting some of the same answers. And I hope you'd be getting the same answers, because I think there's a universality. One thing that binds any combat soldier, or any military veteran for that matter, and I'm not a combat person, but any military veteran, is that experience. And the realization that that experience was probably really, in actuality, not necessary. Even though the Russians call it the war of not liberation. I think it was called the war of liberation. Anyhow, they have a different term for it. In fact, the Russians really won World War II for us in Germany, because they were the ones that beat the Germans. We did. By our landings, and by bombing the hell out of them. I mean, that's what we did. We destroyed Germany through our air power. But I can imagine what those poor people in Germany went through. Funny thing, I went to school with a guy who came from Germany. He was going to go into the ministry. He wanted to go to Western Theological Seminary. I went to a school in Michigan. And Western Theological Seminary was where he was going to go to school, ministry. But he was an anti-aircraft gunner in Germany, in Hamburg, during World War II. He was younger than me, 2 years younger than me. But that's what he did during World War II. He shot down, if he could, American aircraft. And we talked. We went out and had a beer or two, because we could. And I still think to this day that he thought what he did was right, just as I think to this day that I did what I had to do, even though my little contribution was minuscule. As I said before, all I did was change clothes for a couple of years and put on a funny suit. And then salute. That's really all I did. But it was an interesting experience.
I guess we're getting down to the last couple questions here. Is as far as when you got home and when you're going from the military back into civilian life, I mean, was that transition hard? And what did the military offer you? Was it beneficial, do you think, for your life from that point on? I mean, what did it offer you, and how were you treated too? I mean, after
I got home?
Yeah.
I wasn't treated much different, because in my family, well, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't have any combat experience. All my brothers really did. They were overseas, and they were the people who did things in the war. You got home, and I got on with my life as best as I could with that experience as a backdrop to whatever future held. But it didn't. In my case, it was kind of slipping into second gear momentarily, and then getting it back into drive and driving and keeping on going. There was no real no real event that stood out in my mind from discharge to becoming a civilian. I didn't have the trauma, that combat. I worked with a guy, by the way, who was on Guadalcanal on a paper. I worked as a newspaper person, and he was a Marine on Guadalcanal and went in and stayed there until he was relieved by the Army. And he went through holy hell. He went through it. I could not talk to him because my experience was nothing. His, he talked about the banzai charges and the screaming Japanese and the attacks and the jungle and the night and every, you know, we'd go out and have a couple of beers every so often, and he talked to me, and I relished that. He was able to talk to me, and one combat soldier in my lifetime who could tell me what he went through. He did it because for some reason we had a good relationship. We liked each other. And he told me enough stories about what he went through on Guadalcanal that I could almost, you know, I said, well, I almost walked away from him because I couldn't take what he went through. So he had more trauma, as it were, even though he was getting around it and able to do it and was a nice guy. I found out that he died several years ago, and I never got a chance to go to his funeral. I wish I had. But my transition was nothing. His transition, I bet it continued all the way through his life. So there was nothing for me to really, was nothing really hard for me after discharge. Nothing. Not really. Because I was, as I said, I changed clothes for a couple of years and put on a funny suit and learned to salute. That's all it was. Play with some guns, but no big deal. No big deal. Yet, in retrospect, I'm proud of what I did. And I can talk to a veteran and say, yeah, I'm a veteran. I'm a World War II veteran. And it puts me apart from anybody else. And I'm damn proud of that.
I guess just one final question, kind of a fun question, I guess, if you can call it that. I'm an old movie fan, and I'm just wondering, as far as your perception of, what do you think of Hollywood's portrayal of specifically World War II, starting back in the early movies, and then even today, the movies that are coming out?
Well, the two movies that I respect concerning World War or war were Paths of Glory and Johnny Got His Gun. And if anybody wants to see really what war is all about and how it affects soldiers and so on, those two movies will move you to tears. Because one is the mutiny of French troops in 1917. That's the Paths of Glory. Because they did not want to go over the top. All Quiet on the Western Front. I forgot that one. That's another one. Very interesting movie. Very good movie. The book is, Erich Remarque's book is an excellent book, and everybody in this world should read that book, even though it's antiquated. But it's a book that tells you really what it's all about and how wars become war. But Paths of Glory, Johnny got his gun. story of an American soldier from the Midwest goes to Japan, or goes to World War One and loses, becomes a paraplegic, and also is unable to speak. He's wrapped up in bandages, and how he learns to communicate by nodding his head, because he can hear, but he can't speak and he can't see. He doesn't have any arms or legs. He's in a basket. It's just one wonderful, incredible, savage story about what war does to human beings. And anybody who is anyone should look that up and see it. The trouble is they don't show them on the tube anymore because Hollywood wants to glorify it now. I don't recall a single movie in recent vintage out of Hollywood that I think is worth seeing. Saving Private Ryan, maybe. They did a pretty good job with that, but it was a bit contrived, and I saw that. Band of Brothers, contrived, yet they glorify the actual combat to a point where they make it appear to be actual combat, but it's contrived. And for some reason, I think what happens is that Hollywood no longer understands what war is all about. What really war is all about. That it kills people, destroys people. You talk to some of these veterans who have been through it, in effect they have something that's been destroyed for them. Even though it's a good feeling that they survived, but something has been ruined forever for them. And Hollywood plays on that because they think they have to sugarcoat what war is all about. I'm waiting for the definitive World War II story to come. I saw From Here to Eternity. That's a pretty good movie. It shows you, though, that more than war, it shows you the weaknesses of soldiers and how they live and that they're no different than anybody else and that they have to accept the fact that somewhere along the line they're going to have to be shot at. But they become, From Here to Eternity says an awful lot about our society, and I found rewarding, and how it became necessary for us to become soldiers when it was necessary to become a soldier. That's good. There's another one. Let's see. There's a couple others in there that may have been, but a recent vintage. Hollywood movies, no, they do not make it. They do not tell us what war is all about. This definitive movie on Pearl Harbor, I didn't even bother going to see, because it wasn't. The so-called other movie, Tara, 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 that is so bad. And people think that it was very good. And the Battle of Midway, that was okay, but there are things left out of that movie. It was damn lucky that, it was just damn lucky that one pilot saw a Japanese destroyer full speed heading in a direction that he couldn't figure out why. He said, he's heading for the fleet, the Japanese attack fleet. So he immediately turned his squadron around and said, this way, in effect, and found the Japanese carriers. And the Battle of Midway was actually the turning point in World War II, when we were able to sink four fleet Japanese carriers in one significant battle. With, by the way, a story in the Atlantic Magazine of some years ago said that actually seven bombs destroyed the Japanese fleet. Seven bombs. Seven bombs from SBD Dauntless dive bombers were successful in destroying those four Japanese carriers. Because the Japanese were rearming and getting ready for another patrol, and they had airplanes and all that sort of thing on deck, and they were wide open to attack, not able to defend themselves. And the Battle of Midway was a turning point in World War II. No doubt about it. But since that movie, I haven't yet seen any, and I kind of resent Hollywood's failure to really tell us how it is, and they should, but they can't, because they have their formula, for Christ's sake. You know, show some blood, show some sexy broads, show some men dying, show a lot of ammunition, a lot of gunfire, show guys being killed and all that sort of crap. But they aren't war movies. They are entertainment. And that's the difference.
Well, I guess, is there anything you'd like to share in closing?
I want to thank you for doing this.
You're very welcome. It's been very, very enjoyable.
I can't believe this hasn't been done before. And as I say, I'm one of six in my family who were in World War II. A brother who almost didn't make it back from Leyte. And he did. But his unit was... He was on a reconnaissance patrol and got ambushed by the Japanese on Leyte. And he was lying for over 48 hours, wounded. And the American 96th Division of whatever unit he was in at the time counterattacked and retook that position and found him. And brought him back. And he went on to become a very important person in my life. He never talked about it, but he had a friend of his gave him a painting. That was a painting of what he held to be his experience. And all it was blues and greens and whites in a very kind of angry, surreal depicture of something. And I've seen it. And to him it was the most important thing, one of the most important things in his life. Because what he went through, and he became a wonderful father, a wonderful parent, a wonderful man, and he was a great brother. All of my brothers are great brothers, and my mother, I still, you know, to this day, I'll never know what it was like when she got the telegram saying my brother William was wounded and missing, and so on. I'll never know. And what my father said, I'll never know, because they didn't talk about that either. I have my sisters to tell me a little bit about it, but they didn't know really what they went through either. I'll never know what my mother went through or what my father went through when all six of us, with that flag in the window, blue stars and a red star, and so on. I'll never know. But there was something that, in retrospect, I suppose someone should write a poem about this. Maybe I should try and do that. I don't know where I would go with it, but that to me was probably the biggest, most interesting experience of my experience in the war, to try and realize what it meant to them and to my brothers and to our family, all of it. My grandfather on my father's side, as I recall, when the war began, I was still in high school then. But he had this big world map, big as that, almost as big as that blackboard over there. And on it he had the entire world, and he had little flags of where he knew family members or friends of family members or people he knew, sons, were. And he was keeping track of this. And I saw that map one time when we went down to visit him. And here he was smoking his cigar, and he was talking. This was after the war began now, and so on. And we were not in it. I was not in it yet, of course. But there he was smoking his cigar and talking to my dad about who was where and so on, what he'd heard and what he knew. Those are things that are priceless, because war does that. It creates things that are never ever going to be the same, and establishes something that people will never forget, for the veterans and for the people involved. And yet, when it comes down to it, it's not necessary. None of this is necessary. But that you're making it necessary, I am very pleased to be part of. Very pleased. It makes me feel good. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It's been an honor.
Thank you.